you. Amen, amen, amen. Isn't that good news, church? He delights over us. Amen. Thanks to the musos. Thanks to those who are serving us. Our worship has not stopped. We've just gone down a few decibels. And now we're in receive mode. Amen. I hope we're also in give mode. Can we just... stepping out this morning. She was going to come up and remind us that every Sunday the communion tables will be set for those who want to partake. We don't have to wait till the once a month when we have sufficient for everybody. So if we ran out this morning and you were overlooked, my humble apologies, but don't come under any condemnation. We've done communion with orange juice and pizza. So don't think that God is limited. But certainly it's in no way disrespectful, but in a way shows our freedom that as long as we are connecting through that symbol of bread and that symbol of grape juice in this case, if it tasted like wine to you, then that's your own fault. But it's grape juice, pure grape juice. There's a release of faith in the life and death and burial and resurrection of Jesus. Amen. So thanks for stepping out, Jan, this morning. But that was to really remind us that this is available every Sunday. And I did notice everyone came running out this morning, but that's also good. And not in my administrative gift set, but it seems to work for you, Jen. You just step out, and I've got to organize things and plan things ahead, and she just jumps straight in. So thank you for that. Can I come and have lunch at your house today, Bill? Yeah, we've got a few visitors here this morning. Those taking up the offering, don't you want to just come up, please? We're going to do a few things as you come up to take the offering. We're also going to have some clipboards available. Yes, the clipboards, as I shared last Sunday, we're taking the leaders away the following weekend. This church has got a great group of leaders that make this church happen. And we haven't been away for a long time, but we're planning in 2 weeks' time to be away with a group of leaders from the church. And some are quite stretched financially, and they really want to come, and some can't afford to be there, but the church needs them to be there. And in the past, we would have had surplus monies out of petty cash. We could have sponsored some people, but we're not in that position right now. So we come to the church and say, if you're not a leader in the church, but you think it would be a benefit for someone who is a leader in this church to be sponsored, then there's a clipboard coming around. And I had 4 or 5 people last week already. Thank you very much. So we're about halfway there for sponsorships. Now, this is not to say I agree every month to contribute a certain amount into the life of the local church. And I'm going to take out of that amount to subsidize somebody's camp. Because then we're taking from Peter to give to Paul. It doesn't make sense. So I'm saying, if you've got an amount that you feel in God, that you contribute monthly, regularly, for the ongoing local church, then we're grateful for that, and dependent on that to pay the bills. But as far as the leaders' camp goes, this is an offering for leaders and for those who can't pay. Did I make that clear? No, the clipboards are going to be passed around. If you'd like to sponsor a leader, please put your name down on there, and the bags are going around for our morning offering. Okay, thank you. Sure, that was harder than preaching a sermon. Come on, don't make my job so difficult this morning. And people looking at me like, he just wants my money. And just also, if you're visiting here, we had some cappuccino vouchers that we were giving out to visitors. Now, we've kind of stopped there. I don't know how we start things. To keep things going needs volunteers. But if you are visiting with us this morning, you do get a free cappuccino here on my right-hand side where these chairs are. Someone will meet you there after the service. Any visitors, just raise your hand, and we can welcome you here this morning. What a few folk. Welcome to the lady here. Welcome at the back there. Welcome. Did I see Dumi? Is Dumi here this morning? Where's he? Where's Dumi? Ah, there's Dumi. Welcome back in the promised land, Dumi. Hey, nice to see you. And you can qualify as a visitor here this morning, all right? Awesome. Praise God. Can we stand up one last time? And take the person's hand next to you. I believe this leaders camp that's coming up in 2 weeks' time. I thank God for the leaders in this church. And we are grateful for them, Lord. But we are thankful for every member, every part of the body that Jesus has placed. And that person standing to your left and that person on your right needs prayer. They need your prayer and you need their prayer and we need our prayers. I also want to lead you in a prayer, but it's not for yourself, it's for the person whose hand you're holding. Father God, I thank you for this body of Christ where your Holy Spirit lives, that your blood has been shed, that there's no more condemnation, and there's no more guilt, and there's no more shame. And you've sent your Holy Spirit to live inside them. And now I ask, Holy Spirit, would you empower them? Would you fill them with joy? Would you fill them with love? Would you cause them to dream great dreams and find the good work that you've prepared for them? And may this local church make a difference in our community. And together with your church across the globe, see the nations transformed. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now let's say, Lord, we believe you, we trust you, and we're excited for what you're about to do. I want to read a passage of scripture from Ephesians. And it's going to come up on the board. So packed full of nutrients. And I want to invite you to read it with me. It says, as for you, say, as for me, okay, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. So if you hear someone say that there's no more sin, no one's born in sin anymore, you know they're not lining up with the scripture. Because we're all born in this condition. And we were all subject to the same principality and power at work. And it goes on and says, all of us, just in case someone felt it didn't apply to them, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following the desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. That leaves nobody out. Thank God for the buts in Scripture. This is a good but. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgression. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And this is why he did it. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomprehensible riches of his grace expressed in the kindness to us in Christ Jesus. And now one more time just so you get it, okay? For it is by grace you have been saved, accessed by faith, and this is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Now, I mean, you don't get to say it any clearer than this. We were all in the same condition. We all need to exercise faith in what Christ did. So that even in our death, because of sin and transgression, we would be made alive. I want to share this morning just briefly the two greatest days of our life, I believe. Maybe I should have called it the two greatest days of my life. But certainly the first and greatest day is when we have a revelation that Jesus wasn't just a historical figure who came and died like Julius Caesar and all those historical figures, but this Jesus was the Messiah. And his death was really my death. That day when you found and heard the good news and Jesus no longer was just a blasphemy word, a historical event, but someone living and real for you is the greatest day of our lives. And that day had increased. In my own life, it was back at a little YFC camp in the middle of Northern Natal where I heard this wonderful message. But since then, there was revelation of the revelation of who this Jesus is, as Savior, as friend, as the lover of my soul, as the one who, in pure grace, set me free from any form of guilt or fear or condemnation. But that revelation has taken years and years and years. And I still feel like I'm a baby. But I can still say that this is the greatest day of my life, is to encounter Jesus Christ and to know that his death was your death. His perfect life and law keeping was your perfect life and law keeping. Something which you could never have done in your own strength. And that's all the law came to make sure you understood. But at some point, when we understand God's riches at Christ's expense, it launches us into a guilt-free love encounter with God that should transform us from glory to glory to glory. And we are in this revolution right now on planet Earth. Telling you, church, it's not just reserved to a small group of Christians singing grace. This is sweeping the largest churches in the world, and it's like a fire through denominations. And yes, some places it brings some division, but there is a worldwide revolution of the grace of Christ through the gospel. What a wonderful day that is. Amen. The second day. So glad you asked what that was. I believe it's captured in a sense in this last verse of chapter 2 in Ephesians, where after it's spoken about this marvelous grace, it says in verse 10, "For we," say that's me, tell the person next to you, that's you, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." That, my friend, I believe is the second most wonderful day in our lives. When we find out that the God of heaven put us on this earth not by accident and not just because of circumstances and coincidences in our ancestry, but he had a specific blueprint in heaven for our lives. When we find that out, I don't know about you, but I want to advance in my advance. You know, you get a salary advance, something before the time. God thought about this in advance. It was yours in advance. And I want to advance in my advance. God, bring on my advance. I believe some of it was downloaded to me in 1985. I was between jobs and had a few days of walking, had a clear revelation. It was so powerful. I journaled it. I've gone back to it many times, where God showed me from we were just married right up to when we would be back in Pinetown. It was a long journey, but it was clearly step by step. It was an amazing revelation. I believe God has got a big blueprint for our life, but then he's got lots of other good works that he's advanced for us. In the midst of that. So we haven't arrived. I don't think we've arrived. But at least we've left. And we're on a journey. And we're going somewhere. God has got a good work for you. I said it last week. I said it the week before. I don't know how often I'm saying. But God has got a good work for you. And some of you know what that good work is. You know what God has advanced for you, and you've had some in the past, and you're in some in the present, and there's still more for you in the future. But if you, in your good work right now, and I was to ask you to come up in one sentence, describe what would be the result that you're looking for in this good work. Which would be the one thing that would make it worthwhile? What is the one thing that, as a result, would make you say, that's what I would want? Because there's got to be that thing, or else it's just meaningless activity. For me, I think it's, well, I believe I have a good work to be here right now, at this time, at this season, in what God is doing in this community. But what is that one thing that I could sum up and say, that result would make it all worthwhile? For me, that would be to see people come into the fullness of grace and the fullness of their good works. If you can come into the fullness of understanding the good news of the new covenant and then step into the good work that He had pre-planned in advance for you to do. Now I know there's some good works going on in this church. I know there's a good work right here in Bill's life. What I love about Bill is he's definitely refusing retirement instead of refinement. And he makes that clear. And he's got a good work that's opened up to him in Zambia and apostolically going into churches and groups. A good work that he feels he was made for. What would be the result for you, Bill, in one statement that would make you say that would make it worthwhile?
To see God's prophetic word of revival to be manifest not only in Livingston but right through Africa.
Beautiful. Come on, church. That's a good work. That's a good work for you. That's a good work for me. You've got a good work. I've got a good work. Trev and Jill, don't you all just stand up? Can you stand now? It's wonderful that Trev has been healed. Aren't this couple such a blessing? And I tell you, behind the scenes, they've got a heart and a passion to get into hospitals and people's homes and caring for people that are destitute. And what in a statement would, if that was the result, it would make it all worthwhile for you?
I like to be able to go into hospitals and pray not just for people that know the Lord, but who don't know the Lord, and prove to them that God is alive.
Come on. Come on. Isn't that a good heart of just not pastoring, but also evangelism? There's a good work. You can sit now, Trev. We just thank you so much for the good work that you're doing. And there's a good work for you. And you know, this good work just gets better and better with the age. I see some gray hairs. And I think, praise God, there is so much wisdom. There is so much experience. And that good work that would have taken 20 years to get going, God will do quickly because He'll fast track it because He's interested in His purposes. Louise, stand up, please. Louise is such a blessing to a group of ladies that are waiting sentencing at the prison in Westville, week after week, month after month, year after year. She's continued with this good work. And Louise, there are going to be people come to you in heaven and say, thank you that you gave to the Lord. And in one statement, one sentence, if this was the result, what would make it worthwhile for you?
Just that these women can live in the freedom of the knowledge that they have been set free by the blood of Jesus and the love of Christ, even being incarcerated and living their lives in prison. They're living in Christ's freedom.
Beautiful. Amen. Isn't that something for eternity? You see, there's a good work for you and there's a good work for me. Yes, Mark and Olivia, you knew I was going to ask you to stand up. Come on, Mark and Olivia. This couple give themselves endlessly to people who've come through crisis and lost loved ones and lost children, and they themselves have been through the pain of bereavement. But in that, God has taken the olive that was squashed and squeezed and crushed, and the oil that's come out of it has become something beautiful in so many lives. In a statement, Olivia, what would make you say it's been worthwhile?
When I see, it's not us, it's the Holy Spirit. We facilitate and we see God's Spirit mend broken hearts.
Wow.
Really, really.
Isn't that awesome? Thank you. I'm going to go through it quickly. But there's a good work for you. There's a good work for me. And I want an advance on what He's advanced for me. There's something God put you on this planet for that was bigger than just paying the bills and paying tax. There's a purpose God put you on this planet that's much bigger than just processing food and taking a weekend off. Peter and Hetty, don't you want to stand up? You are ambassadors for the kingdom. You are shining lights out there. They've following a good work to take revival into communities where they pray for the sick and see healings. And every time I bump into Peter, there's another testimony and another testimony. And it's just God uses them in intent ministry into rural communities. There's a good work that's going on in their life. Peter, in a statement, what would make it worthwhile?
I just want to praise the Lord for everything that He's done. My statement is, I'd like to see more people get delivered from witchcraft and everything, and more people into the kingdom of heaven.
Wow. Wow, that's worthwhile. That's a good work. That's a good work. Come on now. God's got something for you. He's not looking at your qualifications. He's not looking at your present status of life. He's given you something. You see, when you love something you're doing, it doesn't feel like work anymore. That's a good sign of knowing you in a good work. Diane, stand up, please. Counseling hour after hour after hour, taking people through sozo inner healing, something that if you don't love it, it's going to burn you out. Let me tell you, if you get into a counseling ministry, you better have a supernatural anointing on your life. But when you're doing it out of a sense of that's what God has got for me, this brings me life, this brings me hope. Give us a sentence.
It's just such a joy to see people come in a place of darkness and in a place of their wounds and lies and walk out with a revelation of who God is.
Come on.
His love for them.
Come on.
Freedom for them.
That makes it worthwhile. If your good work is to that end. Mark and Minnie, stand up. They are pillars in this house without having been given a title of being pillars. We were chatting to them the other day. I found out they got a passion for evangelism, which is very evident in their life. But they're fleshing it out by running an alpha course in their home with family members who have been agnostic and atheistic and are suddenly now asking the right questions. And they love it, and they love what they're doing, because it's a good work that God has called you to. Now, I know Mark has got my gift of short-windedness, so I'm going to ask Minnie to say...
Just knowing what we all know, we are so fortunate to be in this church, to have the truth preached to us. It's so rare. And to keep that to ourselves and not share it, and see it working in the community with everyone that is around us, and we're all in touch with a lot of people, would be criminal.
Beautiful. Thank you, Mark. Now listen, I'm only six rows down this aisle. I haven't even got to that aisle yet. Hey, Marnie, there's still lots ahead of you, my friend. Many good works. Sue, good works ahead of you. And many others. I could walk up and down these aisles and begin showcasing to the church that there's a good work that you're called to. And there's a good work that we are called to. And I'm going to just jump to maybe the last couple I'm going to invite to stand up. But before I do that, we've got a couple of slides coming up. Another couple in the church, Nigel and Denise, don't you two want to just stand up there? See, I'm still in this aisle here. But a couple of... Last year, do you remember the farmer Keith came and he ministered on some of the needs they have in their orphanage and the ministry to the poor in the community of Ntuba Tuba? And he came and ministered. Yeah, do you want to shoot through those slides, please? They should be ready to rock and roll. And as Keith was sharing, something got into their hearts to say, we can help. We can make a difference. There's a good work So I can't even say it was my anointed preaching that stirred them up, because they were already running into this. They just felt like, are you cramped, boxed in, feeling like you're going nowhere? Well, it's time to step into what God has got for you and experience the open spaces of His purpose and His destiny and His life. And like I said, Keith and Angela last year came and shared a bit in the church. And while they heard the message, they were encouraged. At the same time, James, together with his team, were putting together the Businesses Missions Conference, which showcased many of the ways we can go into rural communities and start small businesses to help small churches. And some of these include farming and aquaponics and networking with sustainable energy, farming, bread making, chicken production, setting up aquaponics, building networks of friendships, a little bit of effort, teachableness, and teamwork. And while Nigel and Denise were at this conference, they were very stirred up. And they're beginning to experience, by going back to Monzi at the end of last year, finding out what the needs were, the creche, the orphanage, the outreach ministries, and they took the life group. They spoke to, they're part of Alec and Jackie's life group, and the whole life group got together, and they went up, and they started finding out what the needs are in the community. Remember, we took up water. They took a trailer load full of water and mattresses and linen and other appliances to take up to the creches, take into the orphanage, and they painted and they had fun together as a life group. But really it started because someone got it in their heart that there was a good word. They even got some before and after pictures. You know, Nigel, if you keep on working at this rate, we'll have a before and after view as well. You know, God's going to just anoint you all over. Thank you, guys. So this is another opportunity that they're bringing to the church and saying there's their needs, that if we as a church can work together with this church, their various needs, you can either speak to them or speak to the life group now that's getting behind it. And let me tell you, church, I'm just highlighting a few of the good works that are going on in our church. Thanks, guys. You can switch it off. But here's my other main point. That was the main point, okay? But can I get to my sermon now? Well, that is my sermon. That I believe when we come into an understanding of the new marriage and the freedom that there is in that new marriage, deep down we start saying, God, I know you got a good work for my life. You got a good work for me. Both in my church, both in my community, for this generation. And last week, I shared around the healthy attitude that we need to have if we're going to continue in the good work. Because to continue in this good work demands things like effort. It demands things like discipline. It demands things like running the race. It demands things like making every effort, striving together. Those aren't ungodly words to be ignored in our Bible. But when they're seen in the context of the good work He's called us to, they are words that we delight in. And I spoke last week about the kind of attitude. Who was not here last week? Just raise a hand. I can see half the church wasn't here last week. I bumped into Brian. Brian knew you. I saw you. Brian said to me, Steve. Now, he's always very encouraging. It's just his nature. But he was really upbeat and saying, Steve, that message last week for me summarized the series we've been through with Grace and where we are currently, better than I could ever have imagined. Please, I've got to get a hold of the CD. I've got some people I want to get it to. Now, if you know that we've got a database, we've got a website in the church. You can even get it linked to what are those fancy things that come onto your iPhone, podcasts. If you're technically minded, you can get every week's sermon that way. But if you prefer to just get a CD, I think last week would be a helpful one if you weren't here. And there is a pile at the bookshop, and we're not charging for them. But if you didn't get it, if you were here and you just want to get one, then that's different. But if you weren't here, I'd really encourage you, because there, I agree with Brian, there was something captured there. And it was simply this, in my last few minutes I got. If we're going to continue in this good work that he's called us to, there's going to have to be an attitude that we carry. And last week we spoke about that attitude as what kind of attitude? A glow attitude, which was G-L-O. G was gratitude, an attitude of being grateful. The L was love, a loving attitude, knowing that just because I love somebody doesn't mean they're going to love me back. But if I don't live with love attitude, I'm going to get bitter and negative very quickly. And then the O was optimistic. So it's not just looking at the half empty, but the half full. It's the attitude of believing what he has said. And as we mingle those three components into a glowing, I'd rather have a glowing attitude than a fading attitude. This is a glow attitude. This is a give thanks in all circumstances attitude. This is a love never fails attitude. This is a nothing is impossible for those who believe attitude. And to live with that kind of glow attitude. So, I got up here last week and I shared on that subject. And this week must have been one of the most challenging weeks in my life. I got it all wrong. So I'm going to have to re-preach the sermon. Because you just have to listen to it for 45 minutes. I've got to go live it. Well, I hope that's not true. So I don't know if, you know, you're identifying with what I'm saying now. I found there were lots of reasons this last week not to be have an attitude of gratitude. They just came at me. I didn't even pray for them, you know. I said last week, when something comes in resistance to gratitude and love and optimism, it's like being in the gym. You need some resistance to build a muscle. I wasn't expecting that much resistance, you know. I'm happy with building muscles, as you can see, you know. I'm happy with building some, but this was ridiculous. I mean, the week hadn't started. I had a good reason not to be grateful, not to be loving, and definitely not to be optimistic. I mean, can I share some stuff with you? Will it make you better? Because I don't know if you were trying to walk in a glow attitude this week and found it challenging, because I can see some of you are glowing this morning. My son and his friend, Jonty Notcha, they pull in to an auto bank to get some money. They got the money and they got guns in the back of their heads. So now off they get driven around to some dark little out place. Anything can happen. Anything can go wrong. It was only 500 Rand, but it was still 500 Rand and one of the phones was taken. They couldn't find the other one, although it was right there. And there were other valuables for some reason they never took. They got the cash. They got a phone. They grabbed the keys. And then Rain and Jonty just started praying in the spirit, praying on top of their voice. And these guys were so shocked. All they could say to them was, keep cool, keep cool. And they were shandaying in Jesus' name, hallelujah. All things work together for good for those who love God. And we know God is for us and not against us. Keep cool. Keep cool. And eventually they just grabbed the keys and ran. But now they, you know, they've got to get a tow truck and that cost a few hundred Rand. They got home without a scratch on their bodies. A few hundred Rand missing. A cell phone that was insured. Keys that were insured. And I say, I can either look at what's half empty or I can look at what's half full. But in those moments, let me tell you, you're in the gym and you're pumping flat out. You're pumping flat out because you don't want to be gratitude, attitude, nothing, schmatitude. You don't want to be loving, dovey, nothing attitude. And you definitely don't feel optimistic about stuff going on while you're looking at the half empty. Because like I shared last week, when we look at half empty, our brains actually wire themselves to anticipate certain things and behave in certain ways. And the protein synthesis that goes on in our brain starts storing all the negative things we hear on the radio, people. And I mean, that was just to start the week, you know. Never mind processing that and then, you know, a few sheep bites on Monday morning. A few sheep bites on Monday afternoon. Another sheep bite. It wasn't that bad. In fact, we had one couple phone us this week and say, we want to take you and Janet out just to bless you because we have a sense that you've got sheep bites. I said, thank you, brother. One phone call that you're going to take me out and not deliver a whole lot of negativity and unhappiness and this isn't working and that's not working. And anyway, our kids don't like you or your church. So we're going to say, you know, don't take me out for supper and tell me that. You know, send me an email. I want to be told. But don't take me out for a whole meal and laugh and tell me all your stories and have me sitting for 2 hours and at the end say, oh, by the way, our season's moving on. And expect me to sleep that night. Be human. So I said, thanks, guys, that you just want to take. Now, I'm not saying a lot of people bless us. I'm just talking about this week, okay? Attitudes not to glow. That would have been a good sermon this morning. I want to share with you some things that don't glow. And that was your pastor during the week. Finding reasons not to be loving. Man, I can't believe I said last week when I used that illustration of Mark and Bridget that we should love and not even expect return. I can't believe I would say that. You know, often I got tested on that one. When you've got a love with no expectation of return on your investment, I mean, who does that? Maybe you've had a tough week. Maybe there have been moments this week where you didn't feel a gratitude attitude. Maybe you had moments this week where you didn't feel lovey-dovey. Maybe there were moments this week where you had reason not to be optimistic. But here's the thing, church. If it was up to us, we are guaranteed to fail. I just have to keep going back and saying, Holy Spirit, you live inside me. You are the gift of God to me. One third of the kingdom is joy. So I've got to be able to download joy out of the Holy Spirit. That's not the joy that this world gives. Not the joy that comes from situations or having been given something. But a deep joy that comes from you. You, Holy Spirit, baptized me in God's love. This is agape we're talking about here. I mean, you know, I feel eros, you know, time to time, you know, the eros is good, eros flows. You know, Philadelphia, filial love is great in Philadelphia, no, in South Africa. Filial love is great, but agape, the Holy Spirit has filled you with agape love. That means you can love the unlovable. That you can love those who don't deserve to be loved. You can even love the president. Did I say that loud? You can even love those that you don't agree with because they are people. And God loves them. And God also has a purpose for their life. And the first purpose is they come into grace. They understand that the love of God, it takes away their past, their death. And they are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then we love people into their destiny and purpose. They're not a mistake. They're not just the result of a sperm and a cell colliding and, you know, 1 in 100 billion won the race. God's blueprint's much, He used that, but His blueprint was much bigger than that for their lives. And you know what, church? The same Holy Spirit that lived in Jesus and raised Him from the dead is living in you. And He's all the faith and optimism and positiveness you need to read the papers through, to hear what's going on through. Holy Spirit, you were the power that raised Jesus from the dead. So I believe you're going to quicken my mortal body. I believe, Holy Spirit, you're going to take what's dead and you're going to make it alive. Holy Spirit, I believe where there's hopelessness, you're going to give me dreams beyond my wildest imagination. Holy Spirit, I'm going to believe, and having believed all things, I'm going to stand, and I'm going to stand firm. Because I'm not relying on my faith, I'm not relying on my optimism, I'm not relying on a little pep speech from anybody. I'm relying on a sovereign work of faith coming out of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of me. Joy, love, faith, joy, love, faith. Holy Spirit, this has got to change my attitude. So if I'm not here next Sunday, you know I had a tough week. No, actually, I'm not here next Sunday. And I'm going to have a glorious week. My daughter was driving down the road. Here's another one to chalk up to pray for your pastor. And the car aquaplaned and ding, ding, right off and blah, blah, da, drama. Not a scratch on her. Amazing. Just thank you, Jesus. But we've been invited up to Johannesburg. We're going to be ministering in two churches next Sunday. And at the same time, we're going to look at a car while we're up there. So James will be preaching next Sunday. And I know he's glowing. He's glowing in his attitude. James has got a great attitude. I must just tell you, he's doing a great work, and he's going to continue to do a great work. And he's glowing. So that's good. And then can we stand up? You say, what did Steve preach about this morning? I'm talking about you building up your muscles. There's resistance in the gym. Hello? Don't just see those things as arbitrary things going on in your life. Because every time you push back where there's a lack of love or where you're tempted to walk in bitterness and unforgiveness, let me tell you, you're building some good muscle for the kingdom and for your future work. When all hope is lost and you keep pushing back in joy, in faith, in love. So Holy, won't you just raise your hands? Holy Spirit, this morning, we all need some oiling. Because the hinges, she gets rusty and she squeaks. And we all know we need a bit of oiling from time to time because we all get a bit rusty and squeaky and grumbly and complainy and negativity. And we need a download of Holy Spirit lubricant this morning. So Holy Spirit, right now, without soft music playing in the background, just like we are when we wake up tomorrow morning. Would you just say, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, refresh. Holy Spirit, in blaze. Holy Spirit, in power. Holy Spirit, saturate, saturate, saturate. Deep penetrating oil. Deep penetrating oil into the joints, into the marrow, into the sin. Deep penetrations of your love, of your peace, of your joy, of your faith. Where people have grown weary, right now, filled, 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 leaving this place like torches that are burning with fire. Leave this place like generators on wheels that are just electrifying their community, electrifying their environments. Filled, filled, filled. Oh, Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit. Even as this morning has just been all about Jesus, the good news, the gospel. And he said, I'm sending you right now, church. As you drink deep, as you drink deep. For those, if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you've never felt the gifts of the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues, right now, just where you're standing, fill, fill, fill. Full, full. Let's pray together. Let's pray together. Shaba samariketo shialagase. Fill, 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 fill. And you will prophesy and you'll speak in tongues and you'll have dreams and you'll have visions and you'll see things beyond the natural and your eyes will be opened. Filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Kialaba shialabotunusa. Shenderestakari. Shialabotunusa. We thank you for those among us who've made themselves available as leaders in this church. We bless them, Lord. We thank you that this is going to be a very pivotal time in the life of the good work that you've got for Highway Christian Community. And all God's people say, amen. God bless. Have a wonderful day.